Did you know that the first ever written pamphlet of English grammar rules was published in 1586 by William Bullockar? Does that mean that before 1586, people could not speak English properly? And that they were just waiting for Mr. Bullockar to produce his grammar pamphlet? Well, of course not. That's why we cannot say that the grammar rules of any language came before the language itself. Grammar rules of a certain language are actually derived from the language itself, how people speak, and the general consensus that all people of the same tongue agree upon. If, for example, Mr. Bullockar had included something in his grammar pamphlet that is against the general consensus at the time, would we then say that everyone else is wrong and the rule is correct? Well, naturally, again, the answer is no. Have you not heard about the word dove, the past of dive, which was considered as a grammatical error until 2 centuries ago, when the general consensus changed since more and more people started using it, and so dove was enlisted in English dictionaries and grammar books and is no longer considered a grammatical error? But how is any of this relevant to the grammatical mistakes of the Holy Quran? Well, saying that the Quran has grammatical mistakes is like saying that the Arabic that is spoken by Arabs, as well as the general consensus of Arabic that has been established for hundreds and hundreds of years, is wrong, only because you think you found a rule that goes against it. This is because the Quran was revealed in that very same language of the Arab and followed that general consensus. It is just a ridiculous idea that someone today thinks that they know better Arabic than the entire Arabian Peninsula who could speak proper Fusha without any problems. Just like those people who could speak English perfectly fine since before 1586. So grammar rules for those Arabs were not needed or even heard of. And among those very people, the Holy Quran was revealed in the very same language they speak. Those same Arab, of whom were voluble poets, orators, and famous speakers. And at the beginning of the message of Islam, most of them did not believe the Prophet's message, yet those very same disbelievers described him as anything except as someone who is not able to speak properly, or as Arabs put it, speaking with lahn. They said he's a magician, crazy, and even described him as a poet because they were dazzled at the eloquence and the perfection of the words of the Holy Quran. So no one in their right mind would dare say that the Quran contained mistakes, since they would simply be considered crazy. Now let me quote what Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, a staunch enemy of the Prophet, peace be upon him, who died as a non-Muslim. Let's see what he said about the Quran when he was asked by Abu Jahl. He said, "But what shall I say? By Allah, there is not a man among you who is more knowledgeable about poetry and its composition than me. By Allah, what he says does not resemble any poetry. By Allah, the speech which he utters is sweet and graceful, fruitful at the top, copious at the bottom. It has the upper hand, and nothing has the upper hand over it." And later in his life, he refused to believe in Islam and claimed that the Prophet was a magician. Therefore, thinking or claiming that the Quran contained grammatical mistakes defies the fact that so many Arabs did believe Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and later the entire Arabian Peninsula heard the Quran and believed his message. It is like thinking that Moses could defeat the magicians of Fir'aun, the Pharaoh, just by using an inflatable snake. And then all those people who followed him somehow believed that he was a prophet. That's why it is kind of laughable to see someone who is not even able to read or understand Arabic properly, let alone reading the Quran, and yet they claim that they had found errors in the Quran. But let's just see, for the sake of argument, what kind of embarrassing mistakes they have found in the Quran. One of the most famous claims is the feminine and masculine adjective-verb agreement. In other words, the adjectives look like they do not agree with the gender of the word. So instead of saying, وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّ السَّاعَةَ قَرِيبَ, and they say that it should be لَعَلَّ السَّاعَةَ قَرِيبَ, because السَّاعَة is feminine. And in Surah Al-A'raf, إِنَّ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ مِّنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, and they claim that it should be إِنَّ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبَةٌ, because رَحْمَة is feminine. Another example, فَمَنْ جَاءَهُ مَوْعِظَةٌ, and they think that it should be فَمَنْ جَاءَتْهُ مَوْعِظَةٌ, for the same reason. And finally,
فَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ بَيِّنَةٌ مِّنْ رَبِّكُمْ,
and they say that it should be فَقَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ, because بَيِّنَة is again feminine, and so on. First of all, saying that every single adjective should agree with its gender every single time is just a made-up rule that has no basis in Arabic. Why? Because that's how Arabs speak. That is their general consensus. Let's have a look at some of the oldest poetry that even preceded Islam itself by roughly 100 years. This line was written by Imru'ul Qais, who didn't believe in the Qur'an because it was not yet revealed. لَهُ الْوَيْلُ إِنْ أَمْسَى وَلَا أُمُّ هَاشِمٍ قَرِيبٍ. Here we see that he's talking about a woman called أُمُّ هَاشِمٍ. If you followed my previous lesson, you would know that the word means mother. Yet he described أُمُّ هَاشِمٍ as قَرِيبٍ and not قَرِيبَةٍ. Now, these coming lines are a bit younger than the previous ones, and it was written by عروة بن حزام. عشية لا عفراء منك بعيدة فتسلو ولا عفراء منك قريب. And in this line, we see that the persona is talking about a woman called عفراء, and in one case, he describes her as بعيدة. And at the end of the line, we see that he is also using an adjective, قريب, as an adjective to describe the same person. And these lines are even more recent.
هاتيك والدتي عجوز همة مثل البلية درعها في المشجب.
And in this last line, we see that this poet is describing his own mother, والدتي, as عجوز and not عجوزة. So that was not just one poet and not one period of time. And if I had unlimited time, I would just quote more and more. But then you might be wondering, why is it like that then? Well, quite simply, this is how the Arabic language has always been. That is the general consensus. And the Quran was revealed in that very same language. So if the Qur'an hadn't been like that, that would have actually been strange. It had to be like that because that is the language of the Arab. But then is there a grammatical explanation as to why some adjectives or verbs wouldn't agree with the gender of a word? Well, in some instances, there isn't really. We say imra'atun hamil with the meaning of a pregnant woman. And we don't say imra'atun hamila. And we also say imra'atun ajuz, an old woman. But we don't say imra'atun ajuza. And many other adjectives with a similar pattern. Because this is just simply how it is. But in other instances, there is actually a reason for words like qareeb and ba'id, for example. These two words mean near and far, respectively, but also a close and far in terms of kinship and family relations. When it is used with the second meaning, referring to family relations, it has to agree with the gender it is referring to, since gender plays a role in family relations. However, when it refers to a place or time, مكان or وقت, it is possible to use either the feminine or the masculine form, just like the line I showed you just a while ago. We see that this line describes the love relation between عروة and his cousin عفراء, whom he describes at the first half of the line as not distant or far in terms of family relations, since she is his cousin. Though because he was denied getting married to her, he then describes her and the second half of the line as not near, as in where she is or her place. So that's why he used in the first instance بعيدة, referring to her relation to him in terms of family. And in the second time, when he was referring to her place, he used the word قريب. So when we say
وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّ السَّاعَةَ قَرِيبَ
and
إِنَّ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ مِّنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ.
We are talking about the time and the place of these words, respectively, and they are used in accordance with how Arabs speak. Also, dealing with words that have metaphorical femininity and masculinity, or in Arabic we call it تأنيث وتذكير مجازي. You would also be allowed to have either feminine or masculine verb agreement, so you could have it both ways. And this is exactly how we see it used in the Holy Quran.
فَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ بَيِّنَةٌ.
And we also see it like that.
قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ بَيِّنَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ.
And both of which are used in the Quran, as you can see, just like how Arabs would speak. And there's actually many other reasons when these cases can be applied, which is definitely outside the scope of this lesson. And finally, and just to be fair and honest, and remaining true to the title of this video, here is a full list of every grammatical error you can find in the Holy Quran. Thanks for watching. I hope you've learned something new today. If you did, please like and share the video for other people to learn from it. And don't forget to subscribe to my channel if you want to see more videos like this. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you next time.